We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That's why this is such a difficult flu season, especially for children, and what's been happening.
So this season in particular has been very challenging from a respiratory perspective. We saw RSV hit very early, and RSV continues to affect the very young children of Western New York, as well as now flu is becoming more and more prevalent. We've had about 335 admissions so far to the hospital with respiratory diseases. 300 of them have been RSV, and 11% of them have been the flu. Over the last few weeks, we've noticed more and more patients being admitted with the flu. And when we compare this year over the last few years, we've had a significantly higher number of patients that are being admitted with RSV and the flu. In the emergency room thus far this year, we've had about 550 patients test positive for RSV, which is the same as the entire respiratory season last year. We've had also about 500 patients test positive for the flu in the ED thus far this year.
How many of them have been vaccinated?
The vast majority of people we've seen for the flu are vaccinated. Fortunately, we know that with the vaccine, you're likely to have a less severe course and also less likely to get the flu. You're also less likely to shed the virus. So the more people we can get vaccinated, the better, because then we will develop herd immunity. And that really not only protects all of us, but really protects those with weakened immune systems or those that are too young to get vaccinated.
Sadly, the kid who had a death in this community. What can you tell us about that, if anything?
So, you know, the flu is a serious illness. It's unfortunately something that does affect millions of people across the country every year, thousands of children. And every year throughout the United States, we do see children who unfortunately pass away from the flu. As we all know, we have had a flu death, a pediatric patient in this community. It's heartbreaking and devastating anytime we have a child who dies, a healthy child who contracted the flu, who then dies, is just devastating. Our hearts break for this family, and they go out to the family and the community that knew this family, and we remember and honor him. It's an absolute tragedy and devastating.
When you said healthy, do you mean really healthy? I mean, is this a case of a kid who didn't have anything, any other underlying causes? He just became ill and couldn't take it.
So, you know, because of HIPAA, we can't comment on specific cases, but what I can tell you is the flu will affect everybody. You know, you can be a perfectly healthy person or have chronic illnesses, and it can affect you, which is why it's really important for everybody to get their flu shot, babies included, older than 6 months of age. We do know that those that have chronic illnesses, especially chronic illnesses like asthma, are at higher risk for complications from the flu. So those patients in particular, it's really important to get the flu vaccine.
When people growing up, sometimes they'll get the flu and they say, okay, you know, I'm just going to stay home. I'm going to ride it out, lay in bed all day. At what point should they decide to say, or the parents decide, it's time to go to the hospital because it's starting to get more serious? Where do we get to that point?
So there's a couple of things you want to think about. The first thing, being a parent, and what I tell parents is that parents know their children best. So always go with your gut. If your child is just not acting right, or you're really worried, take them to the doctor or to the hospital. That's the first thing. The second thing is the flu can certainly cause all sorts of symptoms, most commonly fever, muscle aches, malaise, tiredness, decreased appetite, sore throat, cold symptoms, coughing. In severe cases, it can cause pneumonias. But it can also cause sepsis. So if you have a child who is starting to become really lethargic, not eating well, not drinking well, not making a lot of urine, they're becoming dehydrated, if they start breathing fast or having difficulty breathing, those would be signs that you need to get to your doctor or to the emergency room.
Are those typically the complications that you see more so in younger people or the elderly, those specific complications?
Yeah, if you look at it, you know, beyond the you're at home not feeling the greatest with sort of muscle aches and the fever, young children in particular, because they don't feel good, they don't like to eat or drink, so they will likely become dehydrated. That's the most common complication that we will see. We treat that with IV fluids, and many times after some IV fluids, they're better enough to go home. But sometimes they do develop some pretty significant respiratory problems. So those are the kids that come in with severe cough, difficulty breathing, breathing fast, using those extra muscles to breathe. And we see that very commonly in really young kids, especially babies.
We have a very diverse community. We've had a lot of immigrants. We have a lot of poor people. Are you seeing special problems in the immigrant families or in the poor people who can't afford routine medical care until they show up with a really sick kid?
You know, I think fortunately in our community, we do have great access to health care for everybody throughout the community, including in the inner city. And as we know, the flu doesn't have any boundaries. The flu can affect everybody and anybody. So whether you live in the suburbs, in the rural areas, or in the city, regardless of your socioeconomic status, the flu can affect you, and we are seeing it affecting everybody.
See this open up the debate again on vaccinations, and some parents are saying, well, you know, this is a difficult strain. The flu vaccine this year isn't working as well. I'm not going to get my child vaccinated. What do you say to that parent?
So, you know, when the CDC or anybody will quote the effectiveness of vaccine, that's a general average of effectiveness across all ages and groups. So we know that every year the vaccine is going to have some percentage of effectiveness, but there's a range. And so in younger people, it does tend to be sometimes a little bit more effective than the average. In older people, they will get a enhanced flu vaccine, which is a little bit more powerful, which will then enhance the immune response. So it is really, really important for everybody to get the vaccine, even if it's not 100% effective. Any percent that is effective is going to help decrease the severity of it or even prevent you from getting it altogether and then prevent you from shedding the virus and then infecting others. So it's really important to build up that herd immunity by getting everybody vaccinated.
Following taxing.
Eileen's question, have you had any parents come in and say, you know, I probably should have had my kid get a flu shot?
Well, you know, I think any time a parent has a child who gets sick, you know, they always think about what they could have done differently. And so, you know, this is the opportunity. It's never too late. Please get your vaccine now. It does take about 2 weeks to build up immunity. As I said, we're starting to see the flu start to become much more prevalent. And generally, the flu won't peak until February or March. We do think it may peak a little bit earlier this year, but every year, the flu is unpredictable in terms of the severity, the duration, and the peak time. So I would definitely say get your flu vaccine as soon as possible.
Has the number of cases that we've received so far been taxing for Oshai Children's Hospital here and knowing that it's probably going to get worse before it gets better?
So since December, we've been at capacity or above capacity in the hospital. In particular, our pediatric ICU has been in an overflow situation where we opened up a second pediatric ICU in the hospital since December 10th. If you look at our pediatric ICU average daily volume this January compared to last January, we're about 40% higher than we were there. So we definitely are seeing not only the volume of patients, but the acuity of patients is pretty significant.
So should parents be worried then that if their kids get the flu and they want to take them to the hospital, they might not be able to get in knowing that's already over capacity?
Well, no, we always make room for everybody. You know, we have multiple plans. When we moved into this building, we had developed surge plans for all different sorts of areas, including critical care surge. So we are working with our nursing staff, our respiratory therapy staff, our physician staff, bringing in extra people in all of those disciplines to make sure that we can meet the needs, finding additional areas in the hospital where we can safely care for patients. The emergency room in particular is seeing about 180 patients per day, which is pretty significant compared to our average of about 120 throughout the year. So the wait times may be a little bit longer, but as you know, when you come to the emergency room, everybody's triaged, so we get the sickest kids in first. So if your child is ill, we will get them in quickly.
You had more beds over on the other location. Is that, do you wish you had the kind of number of beds you had here?
Well, we actually had different kinds of beds over there. And this building in particular is, even though the footprint is a little bit smaller, it's much more usable space and much more flexible. And that's the way we built it. So that depending upon if we have a surge of critically ill children or a surge of new babies or a surge of NICU babies or a surge of pregnant moms, we've got the ability to spread throughout the hospital into different areas. So overall, this is actually a much easier location to manage those volume of patients.
Can you talk about the strain or the mutation of this strain of flu?
So this year, we're starting to see more flu B than flu A. So there's two main strains of the flu A and flu B. The vaccine generally contains two A's and two B's. The general sort of sequence of events with the flu season is flu A comes first, and then flu B comes. And flu B usually comes in the later part of the season, around February or March, sometimes a little bit later. We're starting to see more flu B now than flu A, which is unusual. Both can cause pretty severe illness. Flu B was thought to be a little bit more severe in children, although we are seeing children who are sick with both flu A and both flu B.
You know, I know Mike kind of alluded to this before, but you hear about the flu and you think it's no big deal. You're growing up, but then you get it and you kind of get to go home from school. You don't really need to go in. But now we're seeing someone die from this, mm-hmm. a child who died from this. What should parents know to kind of ease their minds going forward, especially in Erie County where we've seen this now?
So we know, as we said, this is a severe flu season, and that there's a lot of patients and children in particular that have been affected. And what we have seen is obviously the vast majority of them don't come to the hospital because they recover at home. And those that do come to the hospital go home from the emergency room because they just need some IV fluids. A much smaller percentage of them are admitted to the hospital, and an even smaller percentage of them are admitted to the ICU. So if you look at it from the population of patients throughout West New York, specifically children, a very, very, very small number of them require admission to the hospital, an even smaller number of them require admission to the pediatric ICU.
If the parents aren't quite sure if it's flu and they don't think the kid is quite sick enough to come over here, orange juice, ginger ale, what do you suggest while they're waiting to see if the kid gets worse and has to come over here?
So the typical sort of things, rest. When you feel like you're not feeling great, you want to rest, and any kind of fluid. If your child is becoming dehydrated or you're worried about that, one of the best rehydration solutions is Pedialyte. Comes in all different sorts of flavors, so I would recommend that. It actually works for adults too, especially if you get the flu with some vomiting and diarrhea. That's a really great way to rehydrate you. One of the things you can do is take small, frequent sips of that. That will help keep it down, especially if you're vomiting, and keep you well hydrated. Also, things like Tylenol and Motrin to help some of those body aches and fevers. We know that kids don't really like to eat and drink and do much when they have a fever. So if you can get that fever down, then give them some fluids after that. That often will help them feel better.
Is there 102 and a half or something that you say, yeah, you better get over it?
You know, there's really no specific fever that we say you should come here. The first thing I say is go with your gut. If your child is not acting right, then just certainly come here. Number two, call your pediatrician. Your pediatricians can certainly help you, and they know your child well, so they can help you navigate whether or not it's a situation where you should stay home or come to the hospital or go visit them. But really the most significant thing is breathing. If they do have any challenges with breathing or breathing fast or difficulty breathing, that's an indication where you should come to the hospital. That have their controller medications, please continue to take those controller medications because those are the things that if you take daily should keep your lungs healthy.
What might be sick and how long should they keep them out if they...
So the flu, as with many viruses, can be contagious about a day or so before you start to show symptoms, and then generally 5 to 7 days you can be contagious once you do have symptoms. It can last a little bit longer, but that's the sort of general window. So we always say if you're not feeling well, please stay home, including children, people that are working. We don't want to spread it anymore, especially if you have a fever. Those are some indications to stay home.
Correlation to the kids when they headed back from their break that they were home and then they're all together again at school, that it increases?
Well, we do know that when kids are around other kids, you know, they're not the greatest at sneezing in their elbow and putting their hand over their mouth. So we do see some increases in that. Schools are an opportunity for kids to share their germs. So we always encourage them and teachers to help them to wash their hands frequently. That's the most important thing we can all do. But we also know during the holidays people are traveling and they're going to other places where there's a lot of kids around. So there's a lot of opportunity, especially in the winter because we're inside and it's cold, where people can spread. We know the high-touch surfaces like doorknobs, elevator buttons, toilets and things like that, those are the most highly contagious. So again, you can't wash your hands too much. Wash them all the time.
So if the grapevine says that you discovered that the three kids your kid hangs out with have gotten sick, do you start looking more carefully at your kid?
Yeah, you want to look to see if your kid is acting normal or acting a little bit unusual or lethargic or sick feeling. A fever would be probably one of the first symptoms you would see. So just keep a close eye on them. And as I said, most kids do fine with symptomatic treatment, fluids and Tylenol, Motrin at home. But if they do start to develop some severe symptoms, bring them in.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.